my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save even more during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save up to 20% on in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. And save up to 20% on in-stock pre-hung interior doors when you buy six or more. Load up today on the materials you need and get the most out of Pro Savings Days. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, Reiki healing for the other side. A conversation with Adriana Gibson. After seeing a spirit in her childhood home and also hearing a radio broadcast audio from another time while in elementary school, Adriana Gibson's interest in the paranormal was sparked at a very early age. As her experiences grew, her curiosity did as well, leading her to realize that she is a clairvoyant and had an ability to help others hear and communicate with the other side. Today, we learn about her studies in Reiki healing and investigating the paranormal.
I'd say the farthest back I can remember, probably when I was 6 years old, living in this old apartment complex, I want to say in Albany, New York. Mm-hmm. It's like a multi, family complex with a lot of people. I was about 6 years old. I was getting ready to go to bed. The lights are off. Turned the movie off that I was watching. I was getting under my covers, ready to go to sleep. I'm not quite asleep yet, but the next thing I know, I hear this very, very clear male voice talk to me in my room, like it's in the corner just off to the side where my bed is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact conversation, but all I remember is that it spoke to me very clearly. I spoke to it and it spoke back, and whatever it said freaked me out so bad that I ran out of the room down the hallway screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, there's a ghost in my room."
Yeah.
And you know how parents usually are with young kids and they say things like that. Like, mm-hmm. "Oh, it's just your imagination. It's probably just a bad dream. And she sent me back to my room." Of course, I'm scared, but Nothing like that ever happened again. That definitely sparked it because I was like, "What was that?" And just ever since then, I've just had an interest in it.
About what age were you when that happened?
I would say it was about six.
Okay. So you had this experience. How did that continue? I mean, obviously you had the interest then because it was a very curious experience. Did you continue talking about it with your parents? I mean, how did that interest continue to grow?
I kind of didn't talk about it a lot just because, sometimes as a kid, not everybody thinks, oh, maybe it did actually happen. Mm-hmm. You know, they think with kids, it's just their imagination. But
sure.
I think the most I can really remember a little further on was, be fast forward to middle school. We were told, ironically, it was Halloween. My teacher was telling us this story that a woman had actually died in our middle school. She had told us this woman was attending a graduation ceremony, I think 20 years ago. And she had eaten a cinnamon roll at the award ceremony party, I think. And she started to not feel well, and she went into one of the bathrooms and started to get worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
But what she didn't know is there were nuts in the cinnamon roll, and she was getting anaphylaxis, which is the throat swelling up, and it was getting worse and worse and worse,
mm-hmm.
to the point where she actually died in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And what was crazy is as she's telling us this, and she's saying, oh, yeah, sometimes her spirit walks down the hall, we suddenly start to hear very faint music that our teacher had in this speaker in the classroom, just off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those old ones where it's like a tape cassette speaker. It's not one of those ones that's like Bluetooth hooked up to a computer. There shouldn't be any sound.
Sure.
So one of my classmates stands up, walks over, puts his ear next to it. Boom, it stops. We all looked at each other like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And I told my mom about it, but she, again, she didn't believe me. She thought we were like making this up. Oh, it's probably just a trick for Halloween, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to think about it for a while. All I know is that that was really weird.
So two experiences in childhood that were really, you know, it's like super creepy and unexplained. What was the rest of what was the atmosphere in the classroom after that? Or what was, did the teacher have a reaction to this moment?
I think she also was very, like, weirded out that that happened because, like, she couldn't explain it. Like, there was no reason for that faint music to be happening.
Sure. But what do you say to a classroom full of children at that moment either?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, this is a ghost, kids. Wow. So you had these experiences. Was there anything else in childhood that as you continued to grow that you know, continued to spark this?
I'd say what really started to snowball it was after I graduated high school, I had stayed with some extended family for a while. And she opened up, my cousin there would always tell me, oh, our house is haunted. And we had some old like Sony Hi-8 tapes that can run night vision. And I was like, you know what? Let's have some fun. Like, see if we can capture anything. And not long before that, her father had passed away. And there was one night we were doing that. And we're like setting up her laptop to run for EVPs in the basement because I didn't have any digital recorders yet.
Mm-hmm.
So she clicks it on and says, feel free to say anything what you'd like to say while we're not over here. And later on, we reviewed her tape, like about not even 5 seconds later after she says that that comment, you can hear a very faint voice say, Jessica, which is her name.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of members of our family listen to that, who knew her father, and said, yeah, that's his voice. So it's like, oh, wow. So it's like, so I'm not crazy. Like, it's not my kid imagination. Like,
yeah,
this stuff exists.
How were you processing that, having already had some experiences, and then you have something on tape that you can relive almost and listen to over and over, and you have verification at that point from family members saying, yeah, that's his voice?
It was pretty profound to me, showing that, okay, it hasn't been my imagination this whole time. Like, there really is something out there. And, like, it's easy to say, oh, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, when it doesn't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to say that, oh, it doesn't exist, you know, like, when it doesn't happen to you specifically. But, like, I know what happens, like, every time, and not to have proof of it. It's like, I just want to find more and, like, learn more, and I just wanted to keep on going, and that's how I've been doing it.
And that's interesting because the experiences up until that point sound like they were, other than the first one, almost, you know, shared in a community type setting, multiple people having it, multiple people being able to say, yeah, I just experienced that as well. Do you ever feel, or did you ever wonder, or do you wonder if you have some sort of sensitivity or some way of bringing these things about, or that you pick up on things more than others, or just do you have kind of the luck of the draw where you're just having more of these experiences in frequency?
I would say at first it was a bit more rare that I would get experiences, but the more I did it and the more I kind of like tried to figure out like what my specific abilities were,
mm-hmm.
I started to pick up on it more. It's kind of like flexing a muscle. Like the more you use it, the stronger you get at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone to the point where like, I think, like, even including the voice that happened, I think it went to me because I'm a clairvoyant. And my one of the strongest things I have is I can either intuitively hear
mm-hmm.
or intuitively see. But hearing my own ears is rare. But it's like, but I know there's multiple ways that I can, like, sense them now. So it's like, okay, so now I know I'm a clairvoyant. That's why I picked up on all this stuff. And there's just so much more I have to learn about it.
How did you go about discovering that you were a clairvoyant, and how did you kind of have that verified to you?
Best way I can describe it is sometimes it'll happen if I'm like trying to like figure out like life choices or just like trying to figure out what had to do with my day. Like sometimes I'll intuitively like channel like different entities, like say Michael the Archangel, and like of other different human entities I've gotten to know really well, you know, that have passed on. And sometimes they would like answer questions. And one of the things that I asked was, well, what am I? Because it's like there's like so many different things, you know, that people are defined by in the paranormal field, like there's empaths, clairvoyance, you know, what have you. So It's like, so what am I? And it intuitively felt the answer that I was a clairvoyant. And then when I thought about it, when I looked up what clairvoyants are, it's like they like intuitively pick up messages. Like sometimes you'll see images. That's like, yeah, pretty much a lot of that fits me to a T. So I guess I am a clairvoyant.
So, but before, you know, getting that almost kind of defining that for yourself, did you just kind of think that some of those abilities were things that, well, everybody kind of has this? Or how did you realize what was going on was different?
At first, I wasn't quite sure. At first, I figured like maybe it's a woman's intuition kind of thing, where It was like, oh, it was like picking up on things that wound up being right. It's like, oh, it's maybe just like women's intuition that's like extra strong with me. Like I wasn't really sure like what to think of it. But when I started to go on to like paranormal stuff or like do like going to like ghost hunting events or like just do stuff for myself, and I started to pick up on, no, this is like a separate thing. Like there's no person in front of me to like pick it up on. Mm-hmm. Like I'm picking it up independently from other people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no, this is a separate thing.
Was there ever one moment where you're just like, okay, this really verifies it for me?
I would say that would usually happen if like, say someone's talking to me because people come to me if they've got problems because they think I'm a good listener. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll just be talking to me, but I can kind of like feel something's off. And I'm like, is there something going on? Like, you have something going on? And they'll be like, yeah, how'd you know? Like, I just knew.
So it's almost like an empathic thing as well, where if someone has something going on, it's like you're feeling their stress. You're feeling their anxiety.
Yeah, I think I'm a clairvoyant. I think I also have some empathic abilities too.
Mm-hmm. It gets rather confusing, I think, these days, because it was like, I'm clairvoyant, but I'm not this, but I'm that, and I have this part of that. Like, okay, what exactly are we all today? But it's so interesting. So tell me about when you discovered that. Did you discover that more so once you got into investigating, or was that a skill that you realized you had prior to going down that road?
I would say it really started to pick up like the more I dug into the actually paranormal investigating, because it showed that it's more than just like this particular location's haunted, or it's this one thing is haunted. It's like, no, like this paranormal energy literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's just some places that are more haunted than others. And I think it just came to me like paranormal investigating because my interest just got stronger and stronger and stronger. I wanted to learn more. And just like I said, with like flexing a muscle, like the more it came at me and the more I learned to figure it out and understand it, the more it's like, okay, it's most likely this is what's going on.
Sure. It's an interesting thing. And I said this on the show many times too, where, and tell me if you agree with this, because it kind of sounds like what you just said, that I almost think every place is haunted to a certain degree. Sure. Some of it's more visible and some of it's the type that, you know, those who are not super sensitive are able to pick up on. But if you are sensitive, if you are, insert the skill here, whether it be clairvoyant, whether it be sensitive, whatever it may be, it's picked up on then easier because someone has those abilities to a stronger level. Would you agree with that almost every place has its share of something that exists that we're not able to see?
Yeah, I definitely think that every location that's got its own energy, like whether it's residual or maybe there's something intelligent there that's kind of just watching, they don't really want to interact. And then you get places that are very active. They definitely want to communicate like whoever's there. And whether people that are not sensitive to it, and then the people who are sensitive will pick on it more. I think it depends on like, because every person has a different frequency with just their own like body field. Mm-hmm. So I think they go to each person, like depending on who we feel more comfortable with. It's just like if you walk into a room where there's a bunch of people, are you going to go up to someone like who's very sensitive and very closed off and not really like want to talk to anybody? No, you would go to the person that's very open, that's like willing to talk to anybody, that's very friendly. So I think for those who are intelligent, like the intelligent spirits, I think they go to people that they know will talk to them and listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on the people as much as it does, like, who's sensitive or not.
And that's when we're talking, you were saying, like, an intelligent spirit or a haunting, where it's like, okay, this person over here has the ability to hear me, so I'm going to go to them. When it comes to something that's more residual, that's going on, is there a choice in that matter? Is that something anyone could pick up on? Or is that something where sometimes even with a residual, it's only those who have a certain sensitivity that can pick up on that because for whatever reason, it vibrates more in those frequencies?
I think, again, it depends on the person. Like, there are some people who are not super sensitive. They'll pick up on something. Mm-hmm. Then someone who's super sensitive to this, and like in the very next, in the, like, just a few feet away, would be standing there. It's like, yeah, I don't feel anything. So I think it depends on the person, depends on like who like matches with it better. It depends on a lot of different things, but it is possible that people that are more sensitive to it could pick up on the residual a little better. But in my experience, it's more of like which person in particular fits better.
Mm-hmm. In your experience, people who are sensitive versus people who are interested in this but don't consider themselves sensitive, is there a difference in personality, or what would you say separates the two and why one is not as sensitive as the other? Assuming that maybe, you know, like a muscle, this thing can be learned, this thing can be strengthened. Is there something that one does or an outlook that one has versus the other that makes it the more open to be able to pick up on those sort of things?
I would say mostly personality-wise, I often pick up on people that are the most sensitive to it, or the people that are more open. They're more like willing to communicate with people. They're not like so closed off, like physically and energy wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that are more open and like their frequency is a little higher, like I will like notice that might help with the activity. With people that are closed off, sometimes what I find is that they have the right energy. Like they could like do well with like picking up things if they wanted to, but they choose not to because they're afraid of it. Or it's like they just don't want to touch it because they don't know like what it's going to do. Like, what does it mean? Like, is it scary?
Mm-hmm.
I think people also just don't know what it is. So because they don't know what it is, they want to leave everything how they are. And I think it just depends on every person. Like some people like me, like they find out what's going on. Like, oh, I want to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and other people are like, oh, I heard about this, but I don't know. And I think it just depends for every person.
How would you say you've flexed that muscle, you've strengthened that skill over the years? What sort of things have you done to do that?
I would say what I did was being in paranormal locations for different ghost hunting events I've done. I would try to like see if I could pick up on anything. And over time, I would like do that at different like paranormal events. I would sometimes do it at home too, because there were different places I lived in that were haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like start to pick up on after a while, like, okay, this is probably this is probably that. So it's a lot of different practice. So it's like, okay, so if I just saw this, then it's probably this. Or if I heard this, you know, mm-hmm. probably this. It's a lot of practice in a lot of different areas.
Does it take a mind to be at peace or more, I guess, quiet, not, you know, constantly running 500 different places as many of us do throughout our day? Is it easier to be in a situation where you're going to experience something or you're going to be sensitive to something if there's less stressors in your life at the time? Or do stressors and being, you know, kind of on edge almost make that area more sensitive because you're, you know, you, like I said, you'd be more on edge, if you will, if there's more stressors in your life?
I would say that would depend on the person. Like for some people, like if they're stressed out enough and that energy is high enough,
mm-hmm.
they could open a channel and like they'll hear something. For me personally, if things are too stressful and I think about too many things at once, it's almost like radio interference. Like you can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if it's too high, like if the interference is too high, I can't hear anything. So it's like I have to focus and try not to stress too much. Like it's okay if there's like a little bit of thoughts like going through my mind,
mm-hmm.
but need to keep it calm enough to where I won't have any interference.
Yeah.
And that's when I can pick stuff up.
And that's what I wonder about, because it's, you know, if we're talking about this in terms of it being an ability, a sense, if you will, just like any of our other senses, the more you're in tune with it, the more you're paying attention to it at the moment you're doing something, the more you'll pick up on it. For example, if you're eating some sort of food and maybe it's some sort of real complex, delicate flavor, if you're just in passing, you know, scarfing that down as you're driving down the road and arguing with the kids in the back seat, trying to fix the radio and trying to pay attention to what you're doing and eating simultaneously, you're probably not going to have that much attention to the food other than you're getting something in your body.
Right.
But if you're sitting in a room by yourself, here's the food presented to you, that's the only thing you have to focus on at that moment, you're going to pick up on a lot more of the flavors and the tastes and the sensations that are going on. Would you say that that's similar with being sensitive to the paranormal, that if you really truly want to have a chance at experiencing something, whether you naturally are super sensitive or not, you need to be very present to do it?
I would say so. Like, you need to be centered and need to figure out like what works for you personally. Mm-hmm. Like, for some people, what their sixth sense, like, they could hear. With some people with the sixth sense, they might feel, they might smell. Like, it's different for every person. Mm-hmm. So it's not like if every person like tried to like flex it, like, oh, like you'll see things or hear things too. It's different for each person. But yeah, I'd say so, that once your mind is very focused and you try to like figure out like what your ability is, because only like you as a person like would be able to know what it is that you're feeling, whether it's your sixth sense or like, or what is this that you're feeling?
Mm-hmm. When you have those feelings and you do get the sense, how does it come to you? When you're dealing with a living person, and we're not talking about anything paranormal, but sometimes you can just get the sense empathically someone's really upset. Maybe they just had a tragedy or a trauma or read something or something upset them, and you can just kind of feel this person's kind of off, and you're concerned about them in that sort of sense, but you're taking on visual clues as well. When you're picking up on something from someone that you can't see, a spirit, are you picking it up in the realm that you would be from a living person and those observational cues, or are you literally feeling the emotions that person or spirit is feeling, and then you have to decipher where is this coming from?
I'd say what that would depend. There's a lot of different ways they tend to communicate with me. Mm-hmm. I was recently on an investigation, and I was being asked, it's like, please help me, because I was recently certified in Reiki, which mm-hmm. is basically energy healing. Like, yeah, it's healing energy from the universe going through your body and out through your hands. So the spirits were asking through a device we were using, like, help us, heal us. And we could hear a woman say, my eye hurts. Mm-hmm. So, and I could intuitively feel, and a little physically feel, that there was someone sitting in a chair right in front of me. And I asked, do you want me to try Reiki on you? And we got a female voice say yes. I was like, okay, I've never done Reiki on a ghost before, but I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm. And I did. I put into myself in a medicine space state of mind, surrounded myself with white energy so that nothing negative or anything could like interfere with that. All I got was positive energy. And I just sent it out to where I could intuitively feel and almost kind of statically feel where this female spirit was sitting in front of me, so I could do Reiki on her face, which is what you do for the eyes. And after a few minutes, I put my hands back down, and we asked, did that help? And we got a yes.
Well, how did you get the yes? What were you communicating through?
Through the device we were using.
What device was it?
I think it was a geoport.
Wait, okay. Explain that to us. What exactly is the geoport?
You ever watched Paranormal Lockdown with Nick Roth?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, he had that with him on the ghost hunt, and it gets pretty clear voices, and that's how we got the yes.
Okay, is it like a ghost box? I mean, I know a few things, but how can you explain? Is it ovalis like? Like, tell me what exactly it does.
It's basically the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
It's like a spirit box on steroids. Like, it'll scan geomagnetic frequencies, radio frequencies, mm-hmm. every frequency that there is, it'll scan through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will sometimes get like words through, sometimes you'll get weird sounds, sometimes you'll get full sentences. It's a really cool piece of equipment.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've seen that before and I've been very curious about that, where it's like, this would be an interesting thing to have. But okay, so how interesting, you get that clear message back after you perform a Reiki healing on a ghost. Let's go take a step back. Tell me more about Reiki healing. How did you discover that? How did you find interest in it? And what sort of, you know, benefits did you see it having, and why you wanted to get into that?
I would say that started to happen because I was once at a different ghost hunt, and one of the things we did during that ghost hunt is that we went out to the barn where they had chairs lined up in a circle, and the medium that was there, who I had been good friends with for a while, started to open up the session with positive energy, and he goes, "Who's got something going on with the hands? Who's got something going on with the hands?" And I could feel my hands were like getting as hot as coals. That's like, oh, it's me. And he says, "Oh, you have a natural healing energy coming through your hands." And later on in the seance, a woman in the group says, "I'm hearing take a Reiki class." And I was like, "Oh, all right, so I'll give that a try." And
so it was almost suggested to you by a spirit.
Exactly.
Who suggested that to you? A dead person.
Yeah, that's funny.
So tell me about that. Tell me how did that journey go as you began getting into that? What was your mindset? What was your understanding of it?
I studied it a little bit. From what I understand, it's basically you're opening. Are you familiar with the chakras, like the seven energy points in the body?
Not extremely, but I know, other than the concept, yes.
Yeah, they're basically seven spiraling energies in our bodies.
Okay.
And what the Reiki does is that it opens up the crown so that the energy can flow down through your arms and out your hands. Like, you're basically the delivery system from the universe down to you and through, like, your hands. So, like, it knows where to go. All you're doing is guiding it. Like, it knows exactly where to go, whether it's on your own body, someone else's body. You could like send out energy out into an environment. You could send the energy like long distance if you wanted to. Like, say, like, you have a best friend all the way in, say, in Washington, and you're like all the way in like London or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can like just send a Reiki energy, like either picture them in your mind or like draw a picture on your hand and just focus on them. You can send them long distance healing energy.
Now, when you say that long distance healing energy, like, obviously, you know, we're thinking something positive here, where you'd be, what exactly are you doing? So let's say someone, because you could have someone with an illness, you could have someone, you know, that's going through some mental strife and needs healing that way. Is it applicable in almost any way?
Absolutely. Like, it's just pure energy. Like, it knows where it needs to be directed. Like, what my master explained is that, let's say the two extremes in the human mind, depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is a lack of something, and anxiety is an excess of energy on something.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the Reiki is going to do, it will either calm something down, it will raise something up, or it'll just send like healing energy to whatever it needs. And sometimes you can use it to scan someone, see if you can see anything. Now, we're not quite doctors. We can't always diagnose what we see. We mm-hmm. can like recommend you see a doctor, but we can certainly do our best to see if we can see anything or feel anything, just to see what we can do. With long distance healing, you're just sending them just energy, like almost like praying for good health, praying for everything to go back
mm-hmm.
for them. And you're sending out as much positive energy as you can.
Is this energy is it originating from the individual who's practicing Reiki, or is it coming from someplace else? And then I guess you're the conduit.
Yes, we're the conduit.
Okay. So where would you say the energy comes from in this sort of healing? Are you connecting with some sort of spirit at that time when you're sending this healing, or how does the flow work?
Good question. The energy itself is basically from the universe, because there's energy all around us and it comes in many forms.
Sure.
And what my master explained, as long as you have an interest in Reiki, like you can learn how to use it and like you can learn how to use it if you have an interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll come to anyone who wants to know. And the energy from the universe will just collect, go through your crown, out your arms, and out your hands.
How interesting when you started doing it, when you, when I'm not talking about long distance, if we're talking about face to face with someone, how did you start to see this in action? And how did it, because everybody, when you're trying something new, there's got to be a level of question of, does this work? How does this work? Will this work for me? How did you have it confirmed to you in your life that, yes, this indeed has some power?
I would say that would come whenever I performed like Reiki on myself,
mm-hmm.
which I would sometimes do like on my mind if I'm overthinking, or like on my heart if I'm having anxiety. And I can see people saying, well, isn't that the power of suggestion? It's like, I can see how people would think that,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't say so. Like, you can feel the energy from like your hands when you do Reiki on yourself, and you can feel it through other people. Like if you're like scanning someone else and then you like scan on something particular, like say one of their chakras, and it's like, be like, I see this, I feel this.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, is that accurate? And they'll be like, yes.
How interesting. Is Reiki something that can only be used in a positive sense? Or if someone was so nefarious, could they essentially transfer negative energy onto someone?
Not that I've ever heard of. Usually when you're doing Reiki, you're only raising the vibration of energy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's getting lowered, not to my knowledge, if Reiki would work.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm aware of if it would work, if it were doing for nefarious reasons. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, only if you like main positive, good healing energy, it will work.
Interesting. Because if you have a positive something like this, something that works, you'd almost assume there'd be a negative way of using it as well. Does something like that exist? And I'm not asking for a friend, and I'm not asking for me. I'm just asking if it exists.
not to my knowledge. I mean, it doesn't mean that it doesn't, mm-hmm. but not to my knowledge.
Or is that where we get into worlds of like curses and things of that nature?
Well, I do know that there are some like religions that would say, oh, that Reiki is just like bringing in demons, like they're dancing with demons, like it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from my personal experience, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think there are some religions that say that because they want to be the only one that's right.
Sure.
And I think that's a wrong way to go. I think we could really learn from like other religions. I mean, Reiki is from Japanese. I can't pronounce his first name, but Isui.
Mm-hmm.
He got his enlightenment from doing Reiki, and some of these like ancient cultures are much older, than some other countries and probably in some cases in other religions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I have a hard time believing that a lot of these ancient stuff is like straight up evil just because it's different.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what you end up having with many religions, is if it's different, you slap the evil sticker on it,
Yeah.
And then that was the easier way to control people from exploring anything other than what they currently wanted them to do. And then eventually everybody's just like, well, their great grandma always said it was evil. It's like, and what was the basis for that? But yeah, we're not the greatest at history. That wraps up part one of our conversation with Adriana. In part two, what exactly happened at the Tim Brook Mansion to make it such a haunted location? Is there a recipe that increases the likelihood of paranormal activity from the past or the present? Well, at a location. And what occurred in the walls of the Dr. Best house that invites the supernatural into it today? All that and more in part two of our conversation. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Heard about about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away 1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home 1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.